Hello, everybody. I'm Valeria, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. So, my first thing, a little funny note. When my husband told me that I was going to do the speech, that he was he volunteered me. That's how he works with us. He told me, oh, we are going to Minnesota, and you're being volunteered. You're going to be doing a speech on this roundup. And I was like, oh, great. So I get the flyer, and as you will know shortly, I'm a very introverted person. For me, it's like I'm not really good. At least I thought I wasn't good talking in front of people, and I wasn't good with people. So he gave me the flyer, and he says, here is the flyer, see, you're right on it. And I'm like, that's Valeria M, I'm Valeria B, so I cannot even come, it's not me. So that's to just a little side note. When I, my journey in Al-Anon started when... Shocker, I met Douglas. I don't know why, but he has like that thing that he just like wraps you and you cannot do anything else but just like listen to him and like see how great he's working his program. And at that time, I mean, I didn't even know that in my family there was a problem with alcoholism. I mean, denial at the purest level. It took me 2 years to actually figure out that there was stuff going on while I was growing up. So at the beginning, we would go at AA meetings together. Like, he would bring me to open ones, never to the closed ones, because as he said, I don't have that extra step. Apparently, that's the handshake, everybody. So, he brings me, I used to go with him constantly at every single one that they would have. We were in Sarasota, and I would go with him and just stand there and listen to, like, the AA speakers. And I would always identify with, not really with the thought process of how they, you know, process alcohol, but all the different sections in their life and all their different, like, difficulties that they were going through, I would always, like, identify with that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I really want to be part of these people. Like, I want to be part of AA. How am I going to do it? How am I going to become an alcoholic now? So that's how I started. So... Well, after about a year or so, Douglas and I, we decided to get married, and his sponsor's wife very gently approached us, and she told us, you know, she really needs to get her own program. And I'm like, there is a program for me? And she was like, yeah, that's called Al-Anon. And I was like, okay. So I go to my first meeting. I sit in there. I buy every single book that was on that on the table there. And I was like just eager to figure out how to get that happiness, that spiritual awakening that I would see in my husband and I would see on also people that he was bringing through the steps. And I was like, because again, my whole life at that point, I was centered in fear. Every single thing I would do, it was based on fear. So I would be like thinking, what if I go to the supermarket and they are totally, like, they totally finished all the, you know, chicken and I don't have any chicken. What am I going to do? I mean, like, you know, and I would bring it, like, to the extra step. Now, me and my husband, we laugh about it. Like, sometimes I always, like, go, oh, Bella's thinking is coming through now, because I go, like, I don't know if you guys ever saw, like, the commercial of the Comcast with the guy that he would be, like, if you don't have if you have cable, you go and become a ninja, and then you fall into somebody's... Well, that was me, like, total disaster at the end. That was my train of thought. So at that point, I started going to Al-Anon, and I basically bought every single book. And in my profession, I need to read manuals that are like this tall. And basically, I read that stuff in one night. In the morning, I go to work, and I know what I need to do. That's great, isn't it? Well, I thought that Al-Anon, they have like these books that are like this little. I mean, how hard can it be? So I get everything. I start reading, and I'm like, okay, I got this, I got this, I got this. This is very simple. And so I'm like, and then I'm like, okay, now I have to find a sponsor. I need to do my first step. I need to do exactly what my husband is doing. So I see like this lady at a meeting, and I go up to her, and she said, so I was like, I asked her, I was like, can you bring me through the steps? Can you teach me how to do this stuff? And she was like, I don't think so. You need to do some other stuff first. And I was like, or whatever, and she didn't have time. It was only about me. So at one point, I got into, I don't even remember what kind of crisis was, but I felt like my life was totally driven by trying to foresee the future. And I couldn't get to figure out how everything was going to fold. And I needed to be ready for the next crisis. And I just felt like I cannot do this. I mean, I still remember one night I would be like crying. And I would be like, I cannot do this anymore. And that night, I remember falling on my knees and asked God for guidance. And at that time, I didn't even know, I didn't even believe in God, but I knew that I needed something a little bit stronger than me. So I basically, the morning after, I called up another lady that a friend of mine gave me the number. And I kind of like, I called her up, I never met her, and I just said, you know, I heard about Al-Anon, I heard about you, and I really would like to meet you, and maybe go to a meeting together or something. And she was like, oh yeah, there is this great event tomorrow night that's Thanksgiving dinner that we're throwing, and we need volunteers. And I'm like, great, I'm up to it. What am I going to do? And she's like, I don't know. We'll figure out when you get there. I was like, okay. So I get my husband, because he's the social one. So I know that, like, at least I can push him forward, right? Everybody's going to like him. So we go to the Al-Anon Thanksgiving dinner. And there is my now sponsor. And she's like, oh, you would be perfect as a greeter. And I'm like, I'm a computer programmer. I don't talk to people. People scare me. And she's like, oh, no, you'll do great. So she puts me there, and I'm the greeter. So I'm welcoming everybody into the room and talk to everybody. And everybody's so nice and so happy. And I'm like, wow, I'm not that bad with people. I can actually do this. That was shocking to me. I mean, I was working as a programmer. So I love servers, I love computers, and I love computers because I programmed the computer, so I know exactly what's going to come out. If I tell it to do something, it's going to do it, and there is no emotions, nothing. I love it. I control it all. So I was in a room, and my husband and I, at that point, we had the company, the subrogation company, and I was building the old software. And it was like a closet, because you don't want to have windows, especially in Florida, you know, with the hurricanes and stuff, can be a little dangerous. So I would be inside this room, dark, totally dark, and all the code coming down. My husband loved to see that stuff when he would walk in. He would be like, this is so cool. And then you would hear, like, all the fans going. So he was like, he always says that's like a simulator for aeroplanes. But that was, like, my element. Nobody around me, just the computers, dark. I loved it, loved it. And that was me at that point when I started Al-Anon. So after my adventure with the service work, those were basically my first three steps. I admitted that I was powerless over alcohol. And then I asked for help to God. And even though I didn't know it was God that I was asking help for, at that time, I thought that I was asking help to my sponsor and to the Al-Anon group, but that was it. So I started going to meetings with my sponsor, and I asked her if she would be my sponsor, and she was like, I would be honored to. So that was great. And I started with the Step 4. Now, when I was doing this Step 4 in Al-Anon, we actually have a book. We don't have like 3 pages, Douglas. I had the blueprint for progress, and I'm like, you know, I'm overachiever, A+ student. So I was like, you know, I'm all like really, really good as I'm a teacher's pet. So. I started my fourth step, the Blueprint for Progress, and the thing about the fourth step, I was expecting like, oh, that's going to be a bash fest for Valeria, right? So I can put myself down. But that wasn't true. I mean, I was, there are also assets that I needed to look at. And that never crossed my mind to look at something good about myself. I mean, it took me like many, many years to be able to see the good things that, you know, the good assets that I have. And now I see that I have like all the assets that I have. Sometimes if I don't balance it right, I bring it to the extreme, and that's when they become character defects. So the assets was like the hardest part of the whole fourth step for me, that very first one that I did. I was there bashing myself and making myself like, whose fault was it? 100% mine. I did it all. I never saw that, you know, things happen in life, but sometimes it's always, you know, you need to keep your side of the street clean. And for me, seeing my side of the street, it was very, very hard to see that part. I would think that everybody's else, so everything was like my side of the street. And that wasn't true. So that was quite of a very good experience. And also like the new Blueprint for Progress, he has like a little look at how I was, how I am, and what to look for. So I love that too. So that brought me to the step 5, which he He kind of like took me and my sponsor a whole day just because I was rolling. And we just sat in our home, and it was just an awesome experience for me. I mean, I was really scared because nobody really knew exactly who I was. And I didn't think that, you know, somebody can actually love me as I am, as I truly am. Really know all the darkest secrets. And I found out that, you know, my sponsor still loved me. She didn't judge me. She was there. She was listening to me. And I was able to get rid of all that stuff. And I was starting to feel like, okay, this is, I'm starting to get to become part of this group. And at that time, I still didn't see any of, you know, and I was wondering, why do I feel so close to Al-Anon when I didn't have any issues of alcoholism in my home when I was growing up? And, I mean, Douglas, yes, he's an alcoholic, but he's recovered. So he's not, like, dealing with active alcoholism. And that's still kind of like... puzzled me, and I would start, and I would talk with my sponsor about it because I felt like I was cheating the system. And she was like, "No, Douglas is good enough. He's a good enough excuse." Let's keep on working, not stop. So after we did my fifth step, which it was, as I said, it was intense. I mean, it wasn't an easy thing, but, you know, I'm glad I did it all and that I pushed, and my sponsor and I, we both pushed through and we made that happen. And, the funny thing, it was like, because it was the little blueprint, so it was like, they had questions, but they didn't say, like, expand. So I was like, the first time I was like, I was on the phone and I was like, oh, this thing is so easy. And she goes, how are you doing it? And I go, oh, yeah, see this question? I just say yes or no. And she goes, oh, yeah, right. That's why it's so easy. Why don't you try and expand a little bit? Because, you know, you're going to need to actually talk to me about this stuff. So I was like, oh, bother, I should have never said that. After I did my fifth step, I felt like a load got off of my shoulder. And I went on my six and seven. And at that point, I didn't believe in God. I had a huge resentment. Well, let's step back for a second. I don't know if everybody knows, but I'm from Rome, Italy. And my church was the Vatican. So I had, growing up, I had a resentment about, like, and that was totally my thing. I would see, like, everybody asking for money and thing, and then I would go in church and I would go, like, columns of gold and stuff like that, and I was like, this is hypocrisy. So I was like, if you sell one of those things, you would be able to feed Africa for, like, 2 years. But that was my set of mind. And that before. And so I was like, and for me, so it was like there could be no other God other than the Catholic Church kind of God. And so I was like, I kept on talking with my sponsor, and she was like, well, for now, just do you believe that me, like my sponsor, and the group can help you out through these moments of crisis or moments that you need help and you need strength that you cannot have by yourself. And I was like, I can totally do that. So that's how I basically moved forward. I got to the step eight. After, like, a little bit of time, I went, like, another room, and then I got out, and my sponsor is like, okay, let's go to step eight. And she basically helped me out, write down all the names of people that I needed to make amends. And she asked me to basically write it down, and I came up with my list. But then she was like, well, you know what? This list is really very well thought, but there is somebody that's missing from the list. And I was like, oh, no, no, I got everybody. I got my son, I got this, I got that, and that, and that, and that. And she's like, yeah, but what about you? So she wrote my name on the very top of the list. Because I can be so harsh to myself. When I do something like, anybody can make any kind of mistake, and I'm like, oh, don't worry, everything is fine. It happens. But if I make a mistake, oh, that's not good. So I start my own thing as, let's talk about your latest failure. And then I go from there. So how gentle can that be? So that was a very hard thing for me to kind of like see that I needed to forgive myself. And to understand that when I was making the choices that I made before Al-Anon, I was taking those choices, making those choices with the information that I had at the time. And for me, that was the best choice I could do. That was the best thing I could do at the moment with the information that I had. So that put my whole like outlook in a little different light. So I went on and I started my amends. For people that did not do amends yet, don't you do that without talking to your sponsor. Always talk to somebody before approaching somebody and say, oh, by the way, remember that day? And they have no idea what you're talking about. So I did that too. That was like my first one. But after that, I learned. And I spoke with my sponsor right after, and she was like, well, you should have talked to me before. Didn't I tell you that? And I'm like, yep. Anyway, so the amends part, that was a growing, that was very growing experience for me. That gave me the opportunity to basically say that I was sorry and really mean it, and also listen to the other person. And every single amend I made, it was like the other person also wanted to talk to me, and it was like the whole relationship totally changed. So that was a growing experience. Then the amend that I make, and I still continue to make, is to my son. My son, our relationship before Al-Anon, he would be like, you know, talking to me and ask me things, and I would be totally like in my own world of fears, and I didn't know what he was talking to me about. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't, I didn't feel like I gave 100% to him. So my amends to him now, and they've been like since I've been in Al-Anon, is leaving amends. Is really like every single time we spend any time together, even if it is 5 minutes, I'm there, I'm present. I'm not looking at my cell phone and checking out Facebook or other stuff that have absolutely no meaning when I'm in front of my son. So, and that totally changed our relationship. And that really helped him out to grow and be like a fine man, I believe. For a mother, the baby's always a fine man after all, right? The maybe, because I never had a never, because I was like, I need to work this program, I need to do it right, and I will change at some point, I know I will. So the maybe amend, it was my grandfather, which by this time, I'm I'm starting to find out that when I was growing up, there was no issues of alcohol in my home with my parents. But when we would go to visit my grandfather, all bets were off. It was totally insane. Yelling and screaming. I mean, like, Italians really yell and scream. I mean, that's by nature. You just start yelling and screaming, wave and all that stuff. But with my grandfather, it was like arguments over arguments. And always, like, he was a farmer. So he would go with his little three-wheel thing to the market at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he would start drinking, like, you know, cognac or, you know, pretty heavy stuff at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then he would come back home and get, like, his little beer. And that was totally normal, right? Everybody does that. Everybody grandfather does that, doesn't it? Well, I don't think so anymore. After listening to so many stories, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe not. So, and that was that really brought the alcoholism, the ism part of the disease in my home, and that's why I'm a member of Al-Anon. And that took me literally like to fully find out and figure this all out. It took me about 2 years into the program and to really say, yeah, that was it. And when I spoke with my mom about it, she was like, oh, no, you're crazy. That's not true. And I'm like, okay. But now, since I'm changing, my mom is changing too. So sometimes I'm bringing her stuff, and she's like, she's throwing me back Al-Anon stuff. And I'm like, Mom, seriously? You work in the program too? You never even went to a meeting? So right now, I basically, as with the step 10, I always need to look at my side of the street. So when I get the feeling, my gut feeling, that it just like, get like sick to my stomach, I know that something is wrong and I need to look at what's going on with me. When I start to put my cape on, because I have a special cape, Super Valeria, I immediately need to go back to my fourth step, and my sponsor kind of like helps me out to identify the areas of what I'm doing that's wrong, like that's not, you know, that's bringing me back. Because, you know, it's heartwarming to see that there are people that are into Al-Anon for so long. I mean, this is beautiful. I love it. And that's a program that we need to keep on working. And that's a daily thing. It's not like I can do it one day, but then the next day I don't feel so hot, so I'm just going to, like, say, oh, whatever. No, I work at it every single day. And always checking where I am. And the first thing that I do every day when I wake up at 5 and my husband is still snoring, I get my courage to change, and I do my meditation, and that's how I start every day. Before I talk to anybody, not before my coffee, right after my coffee. I still need to be a little bit up a little at that time. But that's, for me, step 11 is really totally changed my mind. Now, as you might remember from my story, let's step it back for a moment. I didn't believe in God. So, as you all know, my husband speaks around the States and around the world. And at one point, he had a gig. Sorry, my Italian. Booked in New Jersey. And I wasn't feeling very well. And it was about a week out, a few days out. And I'm basically I pass out in the shower. And my husband comes in, and I'm like, I have blood everywhere. I'm speaking Italian. And he just gets me out of the shower. He brings me in bed, and we go to the doctor, to the hospital. They keep me there for a day. And they're like, so my father from Italy is yelling and screaming, saying, she needs this specific doctor, get him this specific doctor. And the actual doctor that was treating me was like, what does he know about this stuff? So Douglas, he was like, he's a brain surgeon. He knows it all. He's at the top of the food chain. So he cannot deal very well with me or the kids getting sick. So anyway, the doctor doesn't listen to my father. I go back home, and the next morning I'm back into the hospital. And so they get me the specific doctor that my father asked for, and they found out that I was having an internal bleeding, and it wasn't good. The doctor gave me 5 years to live. So I was, Douglas was like, okay, so we have five great years together. Let's make it the best we ever had. So he calls up at the New Jersey retreat, and he told them, he's like, I cannot come up. So they're like, well, bring her too. And so we basically left, and he was okay with the doctor and everything. We left. We went up to New Jersey in February, very, very cold. And so they had the retreat at a nun kind of church thing. And we were all there. And so Douglas in the evening had to talk, and they were talking, I believe it was the fifth step, and he brought up the fact that what the doctor just told us and what was going on with us. So at that time, we kind of like, everybody kind of like, you know, showed their love and everything. And then in the morning, they had the meditation. So me and Douglas, we are like, okay, let's go and do the meditation. So we go downstairs at 6 o'clock, freezing. And I'm like, let's do this. And so a dear friend of ours was leading the meditation. And at that point, he was doing a meditation that's a healing light. So what happens is that you start, and you start with, I believe it was like from your center of your eyes, and then you bring it down to your heart. And then basically it was, he said, now everybody take your healing light and put it on Valeria. And as I said, I was in New Jersey. It was cold, snow everywhere. And when he said that, I felt like I was back in Sarasota on the beach right under the sun, and I saw this bright, bright light and warmth. And that was like life-changing. I never felt like that ever. And I started crying. I mean, I'm a Roman shield. I never cry. never cried before Al-Anon. I would go through everything, never a tear, nothing, ever. And that weekend, I literally cried from that point until we left. I couldn't stop. And that afterwards, when I spoke with my sponsor, she's like, so you understand what happened, right? And I was like, no, I cried. What happened? And she's like, maybe that was your spiritual awakening, maybe. And I was like, I do feel more in touch with my higher power than I ever did. And so the next morning when we got back, I go to the doctor, back to the doctor, because they needed to do some more testing and whatever. And so we go there, and the doctor comes in, and she does like this testing, and she goes, I think that something went wrong. Can we try and do it again just to make sure that everything is checking out correctly? I was like, yeah, whatever. So she does it again. And then she goes, what did you do this weekend? Did you go to the beach? And I was like, Douglas was like, no, we were in New Jersey. We were like covered in snow. There was no sun anywhere. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, she told us that I was cured, that I didn't have anything anymore, and that I was fine, and that I wasn't going to die. I was like, well, seriously? You're teasing me, right? So she goes, yeah, but really, what did you guys do this weekend? I'm really interested. And we were like, oh, we went to this spiritual retreat and I saw the light. She goes like, crazy. So she pats my head and she says, okay, whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it. So that was my spiritual awakening. And afterwards, I realized that I was crying that day because I was cleansing. I was taking all the junk, everything that I kept inside myself for years and years, and I just let it all go. And that was just a way that, you know, happened, which I hated, but that's not about me. A few months later, we go back to Rome, and we go there, and I basically, that was when Douglas said to reach out to America, and nobody would answer. And you know what? It's like anonymity is a very, very, is a milestone for both programs. But in Al-Anon, it's kind of like when I started, I kind of like, as I am, I always like either bring it to the extreme sometimes. And that time, I really brought it to the extreme. I really should have told my parents that he was a recovered alcoholic, but whatever. He handled it. That taught me a lesson. That taught me that I'm not so powerful, that he has his own God and I have my own. And his God took care of him. And I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't have to stress over it and control every single second of that evening. So that was a good thing. So I went back to Rome, and then we went to visit my grandparents. Yeah. So we go back, but now I'm like, you know, I'm growing within the Al-Anon program. And I see my grandfather, and the beginning I'm kind of like, I don't say anything. I just observe things. And it just hit me. Like, he basically was doing things. He was showing his love the way he knew how to show his love. That was totally different from what I wanted him to do and how I wanted him to show me his love. So I was able to figure out that, you know, he loved me in his own way, not my way, but his way. So that made the whole thing totally, like the whole experience with my grandfather, totally different. I spoke with him, and I just told him, Grandpa, I love you. And my grandfather told me, I love you too, and he hugged me. And that was like we were all by ourselves. Nobody was around. After a week, we were going to Capri, really nice place, right outside, like a little island outside the Naples. And my grandfather calls my mom. Oh, because my parents come everywhere, okay? So wherever we go, my parents are there. Douglas loves it. So we're going to Capri, and he calls me up. He calls up my mom, and he told her that he was diagnosed with a lung cancer. And so, and then he was like, it was shocking to me that he asked to talk to me. I mean, me and my grandfather, I mean, I was 23, we never spoke ever. I mean, he never wanted to talk to me. And I get on the phone with him, and we start talking. We have a great conversation. And he only lived about 3 months, but those were like the best 3 months we ever had. I mean, we were able to talk to each other. We were able to, you know, have a relationship as a granddaughter and a grandfather should have. So that's the power of Al-Anon and making amends, even though that wasn't like the one that I wanted to do, but at the end it was the most rewarding one. So now that's basically the 12th step for me is bringing all these principles that I'm learning from Al-Anon into all my affairs. And that means I'm bringing it into work. I keep it within my family, and I bring it to whomever I touch. And you see, like, people, there is a friend of ours that she's going through some issues with her son, and she's like, she constantly, like, wants to talk to me because he's an active alcoholic. Well, he went to rehab, so I guess that he's not active now. But he's trying to find recovery. And so she's like, she always wants to talk to me. So we go to Al-Anon meetings together and stuff like that. And she always wants, she kind of like gravitates around me because I always like, she always sees how I react to life. And she's always like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, if you actually like work the Al-Anon programs, it actually works. So In my life, and that's really like leading by example, without forcing the program into anybody, and just do what's right and keep on going. My biggest challenge, one of the biggest for me this year was my son. He's basically he's a genius. He was tested genius, so very talented kid. And out of the blue, he just finished high school. So he kind of like, he says, oh, I want to do biotechnology. So I'm like, already, I'm like helping him out. And Douglas helped him out to get him all signed up and everything ready. And then he comes up to us when he's about 2 months before getting into school. He goes, I don't want to do biotechnology. I want to become a mechanic. We were at dinner. I almost like, and Douglas knew, he didn't tell me anything. That was resentment right there. So I'm there, I'm like falling off the chair, like, oh my God, what did you tell me? What's going on? And then I'm like, I got the first thing that comes to my head is like, you never even changed a light bulb in the house. How can you become a mechanic? So Douglas, very level-headed, because he was ready for it. So it was like, well, let's get him to do an internship, and he can practice and see if he actually likes to be a mechanic. And so he basically, we got him to do an internship to this guy, and we said we would pay for it. And the guy said, okay, come on in. And he basically had my son start fixing cars and stuff. And I was like amazed on stuff that he was doing. And he actually started paying him because he was performing very well. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So he worked there. We kept him there for about 6 months. And he still loved it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I have this plan. So, but I couldn't call my sponsor and tell her I have this plan for my son. So I know what she's going to tell me. So I my son still loved it. So we signed him up to a technical institute. And so that was, I helped him out getting in and everything. So that was for me to step back and let him do what he wanted to do really in life. That was a major task. So Al-Anon brought so much into my life, and he brings so much serenity in my life every single day. And I'm really grateful to be a part of this wonderful program. Thank you.